Let's commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in God, we thank you for bringing us together. And we thank you that we can have the assurance that you are in our midst. We pray that the realization of this will be the fire for our hearts to cause us to burn, so that we might be able to say at the conclusion of our hour, even as those apostles of old, do not our hearts burn as he spoke to us in the way. So speak to us, our God, in the way, cause our hearts to burn, in Jesus' name. Amen. I left off anyway, we were talking about the kind of longing that every human heart has as living conditions. And we raised a number of questions suggesting and just imagining that you lived in a world that was like this. I'm not going to go over all those questions now, but I'm going to read a passage which describes a world something like what we might long for. It says, "With righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze." Have you seen that? "Their young lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den." The implication is that they do this with impunity. They do this without fear of injury or hurt. "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." That's the kind of world I want to live in. That's the kind of world that I wish my present world were, where I didn't have to fear anything. I didn't have to be anxious about anything, not even something like someone not having a good feeling towards me. No fear whatsoever. No anxiety. Everything perfect. Don't you want to live in a world like that? Of course. Well, there is such a world. And it is not just for the world, the by and by, the sweet by and by. Let's read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews 11. The faith chapter. So it begins with what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. What is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We can spend hours on that point, but we're not going to focus on that this morning. What we want to focus on now is the world that we want to live in. Let's drop down in the chapter to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for a city. Okay, let's see if we can introduce a little dialogue here. What city do you think Abraham was looking for? We are told about the character of the city, whose maker, as the King James Version puts it, but here in the NASB it says whose foundations, which city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The architect and builder is God. What city was Abraham looking for? He was promised a land, and he went out and really lived in that land where he was promised, that he was promised. Yeah, Abraham lived in Canaan, and he was there when God said to him, look as far as you can, to the east and to the west and the north and the south. And everything you see, I have given to you. Then God said, walk it. What city was Abraham looking for? The New Jerusalem? Okay. Elaborate on that, Brother Gabe.
Jerusalem. was studying the scriptures, looking at the city four square, and I'm in Jerusalem.
Okay. Okay. He's looking for a city.
I made with human hands.
I've made with human hands.
The sign of God.
Okay. Okay. Now, where would that city be? Where is that city that Abraham was looking for?
It was on earth.
It was on earth. Okay.
Because anything made on earth, man's hands.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Keep going, Brother Rod.
It must have been heaven.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a city in Abraham's head that he was looking for. In fact, we gather from this passage that he was so intent upon pursuing the path to this city that when he occupied the place of promise, the land of promise, he lived there as if he were a foreigner there. That's where he is credited with faith. Faith enough to just go to the land of promise was admirable. But Abraham, after he had arrived in the land of promise, had a faith that reached beyond the land of promise, so that he lived in the land of promise as if it were just a temporary dwelling, as if it were just something passing, because he was looking for something that was sturdy, that was lasting, something that was not going to be subject to change. He was looking for a city in which nothing would hurt or destroy. A city in which nothing would suffer decay. We live with these conditions now, and we've become so as it were, accustomed to them, that they appear to be normal. Well, we live with fears that we have considered to be, that we now consider to be normal. So normal that they are sublimated. And it's only when someone raises the question that we realize that that is one of the fears that we are carrying. Why is that? That is because we are not living in that city that was that Abraham was looking for. Now, what would be some of the other characteristics of a city that Abraham was looking for that we will find also a longing in our hearts for? Now, of course, the disadvantage that you're at this morning is that you had no idea that this is what I would be talking about, and you have not pre-thought anything that I have presented before you. We will try to see whether we can incorporate that in future talks, so that you know in advance and you will have opportunity to think in advance of it, and to be prepared or to come with some ideas that you are willing to share regarding when opportunity is offered for you to do so.
You're asking that question now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the question I just asked.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we consider Abraham, he was a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived by that. his faith is in view of the promise that God has made. So it wasn't something that he could be tangible, because it's a promise that God had given him. But he lived by that. That was his whole pathway, that the faith that God had given him. And so that was the way he was going. And Scripture says, we live by faith. And our promise really is the one who has already had called us. One day you're going to be with me. And we live by that. And so our lives should generate this one that one day is going to be the answer to our promise, to the promise of us.
So
I live in relationship to that. And so, therefore, my concern is not to build a bigger house or to gain whatever things may be, because my object is on the promise that God has given me. And so my whole thinking, my whole orientation should be in view of that.
Okay, so that what we're saying then is that Abraham's faith conformed to the character of faith that we have set forth here. The assurance. You need assurance. Now, sometimes we think of faith that, well, you know, okay, I have had faith. I believed in the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to be saved at the end. Between now and then, my life has nothing to do with that. Oh, I can tell other people along the way, hey, if you want to have a good end, you should do what I did. Brother Mel,
I think this might be somewhat of a description of the city that Abraham was looking forward towards.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right there is the start of a population or a civilization who individually and corporately hallows the name of the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So now the heavenly kingdom has come to earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory. The only catch in there, and maybe we could take up a study in the future of difficult Bible verses, because there are many in the Bible that I cannot equivocate. I don't know that the Lord, and this is Jesus saying it, I can't contend with it, that the Father would lead us into temptation. I never knew how to explain that. It never computed with me. But that might be another study we would like to take up.
Yeah, I think that is quickly taken care of by understanding that temptation is not their testing, is not their being lured into some evil, but let us not go through testing. That is testing, as I understand the correct.
Use
that in the testing, yeah.
So that would be like the difference between being disciplined. Let me try to remember the thought as Jesus speaks of it a little further on in Matthew when he says, I am the vine. And he speaks about the difference of being, in my words, strengthened or rebuked, like punished or disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all Job's friends were saying, this is happening to you
right.
because you
right.
sinned. And right. the Lord lets us know later
right.
in Job that was never the case.
Right. Job was an example of testing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I just have a thought.
Romans chapter 4 speaks of Abraham and how he obeyed God. And I think that is the character of faith is obedience. He heard the word, Abraham did, he heard the word and he obeyed it. And in so doing, he went out. And this is necessary for the blessing of God to be given. Because faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And in chapter 4, we read, starting from verse 17, and it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom ye believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. And verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And in verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So it went beyond just works and obedience to God, but it gave rise to all that God was able to do in making him a father of many nations.
I don't need it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you for your contribution, Wes. And so let's see. Yes, Bud Mel? Good.
I think it might be worth mentioning, even though Abraham is here in the Hall of Faith, in Hebrews 11, he was far from a perfect guy. He lied often. He also left when Sarah did. But the Lord, I guess, is the only one that sees all our hearts and knows for true what's in there. Or else, at the beginning of chapter 11 would probably have to be left out.
Yeah. It's we will understand that all those who are cited in Hebrews 11 are not cited because they were perfect. Because there's one that I remember especially.
Anyway, they're not cited for perfection, but the Spirit of God in grace simply points to the one thing in which they were exemplary of faith, and that is what we need to be conscious of when we look at these. The God is not saying these are perfect people, but he's saying they are people who were people of faith, and what I want to get across to us this morning is that we are to be people of faith, so that we're not presuming that where we are is where we are to aspire to, is what we are to aspire to. That only drags us down, because the present world is one that is full of grief and pain and perverseness, deception, and everything that you can remember, you can think of. This world is corrupt, and it cannot be fixed until the Lord Jesus comes to fix it. Abraham had the best that he could have hoped for on earth. He had the promise fulfilled. God said, get up and go out. I'm going to show you a land. And God shows him a land. Abraham lived in Canaan hundreds of years before Israel did. That's the land God said to him, you go out and I'm going to give you that land. Having received it, he sort of shunts it, sets it aside, because he looks beyond it and he sees something so much better. He sees that by faith. He has this by sense. He lived in the land of Canaan by sense. He looked beyond the land of Canaan by faith. And that's what we are encouraged to do. We live in a world in which we can have our senses regaled. That's very, very transient, ephemeral, passing. Bruno?
Yes, if you would please bring back this book, some of that verse again, where it says that by faith, Abraham, being as an alien
in the land of promise, we should not forget that Abraham was the richest man in the world at that time. Yet he lives as an alien. I mean, I know what it is to live as an alien, coming from elsewhere, in a country where if you don't have the right paper, you can't actually work. You can't do anything. If you would keep the focus on that, I think that would be, because obviously what we're getting today as faith is that hook that by which you can get things from the hands of God. If you have faith enough, you can throw your thing and then bring it home. If you pray enough, you'll get material things. But here is the richest man at the time that is able to set all that apart because he's looking for something that is eternal, that is better. He lives as an alien. That is pretty strong, and I have a hard time reconciling that thought.
Brother Bruno, come up here and finish the message. That's exactly the point. We're not talking about things here. What we're talking about is what faith empowers us to do. Faith empowers us to look above everything here, so that we are not captured by what's here as if it were the end of everything. Abraham was essentially repudiating all that could be obtained here, could be acquired here, because he already had it. We're told that he was enormously wealthy, but he cared nothing about his wealth because he saw something so much better beyond this wealth. That's what I'm hoping that we can be lifted up to this morning. We have become so married to the here and now that, unlike Abraham, we are trying to forge out of the here and now something that will resemble what that city that Abraham was looking for. And Abraham knew this was a fruitless enterprise. So he wasn't trying to fix what he had so that it could accord with what he really saw by faith. He set that aside. He didn't even have time to try to enjoy that. He wasn't interested in trying to enjoy that. He was too busy focusing on that city that was made without hands. That's the message. Reverend?
Yeah, I think you could say that clearly about Abraham. But also, Samson was a man of faith. Scripture said that. How do we understand that? It's one thing to say, oh, that's where our focus should be. But I'm living in the land. How it should be. That's the practical side of it. Because Samson lived in the land. And was his focus change, or was it because God has established him as a man of faith? And the proof was in his hand. So how is that? It's by experience, with God. Do we have to learn this? And that's what happened with Samson's case. But is it because what God has established in the first place? Because we see that in his birth and everything else. How is that?
Well, if we talk about Samson was not credited with faith that looked beyond. Samson was an example of faith that made him that made him able to do things that were necessary in God's purposes. God had his plan that he's going to ultimately vanquish the Philistines, who were a bane in Israel's in Israel's life. But he was going to use Samson as an instrument to foil the Philistines' intent and to just subdue or subjugate Israel. But I don't want to get off.
No, I'm saying he's listed in those.
Yes, he's listed. He's listed.
So how does we fit in our life?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
And this is one of the reasons, this Samson exactly was the one that I was trying to remember. When I said that there is at least one in here who we would not only look at as an example of faith, but God used him by faith too, as an example of faith also. But let me focus on what I have. Yeah, let me focus on what we want to point out here with Abraham's case, where he is looking beyond the here and now. Somebody over here. Was that Brother Carl?
Isn't it true that Abraham's faith grew as he learned about the author of faith? That's God. Jesus. The beginner and the author of faith. The works come because of the author. The relationship of the individual to the author. That's necessary. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, we don't know too much about Him. But it grows. And when it grows, the practical faith comes. The Lord had said to Abraham, go out. He didn't go out right away. It took a while. He said that to him when he was in the land of Mesopotamia. But he didn't go out until Paran. Then his father died. Then he went out. Because he got to know the author of faith. And that's how it is with me. I don't know the author enough. We need to know him more.
Okay, I think that's a good note to end on. So I'm going to stop here. Someone like to close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you even for the privilege of looking into your word and for this good lesson about Abraham, where nothing around us here will equal what we aspire to when we're with the Lord. It reminds me of what Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He made us new then. Jesus never endeavored to fix the old one. New men because of him. Lord, we thank you. And just how you bless us is constantly amazing. Amen.
Amen.